and welcome to the Behind the Bra podcast, brought to you by Barbells for Boobs, where we are redefining the standard of care in breast health and improving the quality of life post-diagnosis. I'm your host, Zyana Hansen, and the founder of this incredible organization. Thank you for joining us. Today, we have Angela Josephs, a breast cancer survivor, co-survivor, athlete, mother, and just all around badass. Welcome to the show, Angela.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
I am so excited. Number one, because you don't have social media. So I don't know. I don't get to like stalk you. So I'm so excited to hear your story and you know, get to know you.
Yeah, thank you.
So I'm going to start the show with the first question I ask all of our guests so that we can really, really dig into you. So who are you? Tell us, where do you come from? Where did you grow up? Where were you born? All the good stuff.
Well, I was born in Iowa, in Waterloo, Iowa. And my family moved to the Quad Cities, which is partially Iowa, partially Illinois. So it would be Davenport, Bettendorf, Rock Island, and Moline. And so I grew up in Moline, lived there majority of my life, and moved to Minnesota after college. And there I went to cosmetology school and personal training school and just got married, started life, got divorced, got cancer, you know, just kind of went from there.
So I love how you just told us your entire life in 1 minute. So let's take it back a little. What made you decide? I think that for most people that after high school, you know, the next step is college, the next step is marriage, all this good stuff. So I think especially at, you know, you're talking, what, 20 years ago?
Yeah.
You're talking during a time where I don't think personal training was really something that women were doing, number one. And right. Number two, it wasn't kind of something that was like, yeah, go do that right out of high school. Because it was almost like if you didn't go to college, you were dumb. I felt that. I'm only saying that because that's how I felt. I went to massage therapy school right out of high school. I didn't fit the bill for college. So what happened in that decision making to not go to college, to go to personal training, cosmetology? Because I feel like it is, it's kind of a rebel way of living your life at the age of 18 after high school.
Yeah. Apparently when I grew up, all I ever wanted to do was play with my mannequin and do hair. So it was really interesting. I would just play with my mannequin, and I knew that I needed to go to hair school or cosmetology. It just obviously was in my blood at a very young age. So after high school, I decided to go to college just to get the business education that I needed to possibly open my own salon. And of course, all during that time, I was very interested in exercising, working out. So I always had that drive to just really want to be a personal trainer because I would see them at the gym and I thought, oh gosh, I really want to have a personal trainer. I would love to be able to afford that. So they kind of merged themselves together. When I moved to Minnesota, I went to cosmetology school, and you know, as a great opportunity, one of the gyms where I worked out also supported the National Personal Training Institute school. So even though at that time I did have my ACE certification, I actually then started getting into the National Personal Training Institute, where that was a lot more hands-on. So yeah, I at that time worked at Target headquarters full time. I was in personal training school. I was, you know, dabbling a little bit into hair in a salon, and I was very busy.
You were just filling your way through life. Like whatever felt good, it sounds like, is kind of where you took your next step. And I think that that's so brave, because I think most people, especially at that age, just kind of do what they're told or what's right or what people tell you to do. So to hear somebody actually live through what they're feeling and kind of going with their intuition is, my son is calling me right now. This is, I just got a pop up on my phone that my 7-year-old son is calling me.
Oh,
that's so cute. Anyways, sorry for the interruption, everyone. But I think that that's such a, it's it, so you get married, another brave thing of getting a divorce. What age did you get married? What age did you get divorced? How long was that first marriage?
Well, I got married shortly after my diagnosis, and it was just a really incredible journey because I, during my cancer, I was told that basically I was supposed to have a hysterectomy, and I opted not to have a hysterectomy. And I opted to do not a lot of the standard things. So I
why does this, why does this not surprise me one bit? I've been talking to you for like 10 minutes and I'm like, yep, sounds right.
Well, I didn't take tamoxifen. I didn't do the hysterectomy. You know, for the first time ever, I actually met someone online. I've never had tried that before. So I said, okay, I'm going to try it. 1 month. I'm going to go online 1 month. So there I met someone and, you know, I was training for a bodybuilding show and I just had all this fun stuff going on and met this person and hey, great. Yeah. So we hit it off. I ended up dating him for, I believe, 7 months. And ironically enough, the very first time we ever had sex, I got pregnant. So that was amazing because I was told I actually couldn't have children because of all my cancer history. So had I had a hysterectomy, I would never have two amazing kids. So got married. We ended up getting divorced a few years later. But, you know, life is good.
That's amazing. So how old were you when you had your first diagnosis? Because I let the cat out of the bag right now.
That's okay. Yeah, I was diagnosed at 29. So
how did you find it? Was it a lump? Did you go in? 29 is so young, especially then it was young. And
well, I found it on a preacher curl machine. So that machine is where you put your arms over it and you're going to do a bicep curl. And something kept hurting my chest. It just was stabbing, just hurting. And I thought, oh my gosh, I can't do that exercise. So, probably about a week or two went on.
Did it feel like a muscle pain that you were feeling? Were you like, no. Oh man, it felt different than a muscle pain.
It was different. Yeah. And then it was one night I actually saw it. I took a shower and I was just relaxing. I had my arms above my head and I was wearing a tank top and there it was sticking right out of the side. And I thought, holy cow, because I was very small breasted. And so this lump was, in my opinion, you know, very large because you're just looking at this lump hanging out of somewhere that it shouldn't be. And so from there, I waited the month because I thought, well, maybe it had something to do with my period. And nope, it did not. So I went in and that's when I knew I had to become my own advocate for my health. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, there you have it, ladies. You need to get on a preacher. What is it, a preacher curl? Better than a mammogram. There we go.
Oh my god!
But in all honesty, I think it's so important. I think that fitness and health is such a proactive way of finding breast cancer. Like, I don't really feel there's a way that we can prevent it. The only thing I believe we can do is be proactive about it. And so the way that we can be proactive is exercising because it creates such body awareness and you know your body. And if you weren't doing that and you didn't try to do that exercise, you may have not felt it. Or if you weren't lean or, you know, focused on your body through your fitness, I'm curious how long it would have taken you to really realize something was wrong, you know?
Yeah. I really don't think I would have found it because it didn't hurt. It only hurt when I had put pressure on it, which I never was really in that position that I would have been in a preacher curl. So I really don't know how I would have found it.
Well, now you know. That's all that matters. And what stage did they diagnose you at that time.
I was stage two, and it was just starting to get into my lymph nodes, and my margins became clearer. So I think I caught it in time before I was going to hit that number three.
So I know you opted out of tamoxifen and all that stuff. What treatments did you have for your first diagnosis?
Well, I was informed that I should get a mastectomy. And at 29, I honestly did not know what that even meant. And so just hearing them have to basically dumb it down for me, because I said, what do you mean a mastectomy? And they said, well, we're going to want to remove your breast. And you don't hear those words at 29. I mean, you're just starting your life. So I had to get educated on what a mastectomy mean. And then I had to learn about what a double meant. So it took me about a month to make my decision to go ahead and move forward with a double. And from there, that required a lot more reconstructive surgeries. And at that time in Minneapolis, I had to go to a Minneapolis doctor in order to get my expanders put in at the same time they did the mastectomy. But if I had gone to St. Paul, they would only do the mastectomy there. So it was very interesting, some of the decisions I had to make. And I just had chemo. I did chemo. I didn't have radiation. Yeah, just some good old chemo.
How old were your children at the time?
They weren't. I didn't have my
children. Okay, you didn't have them until afterwards. Right. Sorry. Yeah. I missed that step in the in the story. Yeah. Okay, so you get through your treatments. How long do you think that you were kind of in that treatment phase then? How long did that last?
My very first chemo session was the day before Christmas. So that was really tough because that was the first year that I wouldn't be with my family for Christmas in Illinois. So I was home, which was really tough, struggling in Minnesota. But I think I went through, between my surgeries and chemo, it was probably a good year of downtime.
Yeah, that sounds, I mean, I'm always curious about this because what I don't think that people realize is, you know, people hear this breast cancer diagnosis, they don't really understand the treatment and the length and the surgeries and the toll that your body goes under for a minimum of a year.
Oh, yeah. And you're still.
Yeah. So you imagine a year of just all different kinds of treatments happening and surgeries happening to your body and your body changing right in front of you as a woman, all your female parts are changing. And so when they ring that bell that your treatment is done and they send you off into the world, it still is going to take probably another 10 years for you to fully actually get yourself to a place that you are content or that you're fully healed from that. You know, like, you know what they say is like when you go through a breakup, it takes you this long to recover from it. And I think that we need to be a little bit more, and this is what we're learning at Barbells for Boobs, and this is what we're striving here at Barbells for Boobs to do is that you're going to have breast cancer for the rest of your life in a sense, right? Like you're going to have the side effects of it. You're going to have the emotional scars from it, the actual scars from it. And so how do we make you feel strong every day and get you to a place where you can feel that you're healing? Because just because treatment's over doesn't mean you're done. You know, that's not the journey here. And so it took you a year. I'm really curious. I know that you had a second diagnosis. Yeah. How long was that from when you had that year-long treatment till it came back?
I'm going to say it was within 6 months, if I remember correctly. So I got through all of my chemo, and I was warned after chemo, give yourself some time, and then go make sure your health is good. Have your pap smear, have a dental appointment. At that time, you know, I thought, okay, sure, fine. I mean, I'm still young. Nothing's going to be wrong with me. I just had cancer. It'll be fine. Well, after I got the clear that my blood levels were good and okay, I'm good. I can move on. Went to the dentist, had my first cavity. Okay. That was not a big deal, but very exciting because I thought, wow, okay. Chemo really did something.
I was like, it's the chemo. Chemo gave you a cavity.
I was warned that chemotherapy was very, you know, intense on dental work. Okay. So then I went and had a pap smear, and that's when I told that I had an abnormal pap. And then that is where my second diagnosis came into. So I'm going to say it was probably 6 months-ish after. And that's
six
when they said
months?
I did. Yeah, it was something real close.
Wow.
So, and it was right after that time that I had to make all those decisions about, you know, the mastectomy, or not the mastectomy, but the hysterectomy. And it was at the same time I was making decisions about tamoxifen, and it was so much going on. And I said, you know what? Nope, I'm just not going to do it. I am going to believe that this is not meant for me. I'm not going to do tamoxifen. I am not going to do a hysterectomy. I can always do those things later. I just need to take this at my own pace. And I'm so glad I made those decisions.
So. Well, I think that you continue to do things as you feel them, right? And I commend you, because that's a hard, and it's really hard to be brave with your own inner gut instinct. We all know what that feels like. We all know those gut instincts. And the minute that we don't listen to them, because we listen to the voices around us and we don't listen to that internal voice, is I think that that's just kind of the norm, is to listen to the outside voices, but to listen to your own is so brave. And you making those really hard decisions at such a young age, when I feel breast cancer wasn't really even on the map for young women. It wasn't like right now. I feel like young women have really stepped it up and really advocated and have really brought that awareness that breast cancer doesn't wait until you're 40, that it really does. It happens at any age. It doesn't care how old you are. It doesn't care where you're at in your life. And so for you to be so brave to make those decisions is really incredible.
What I found really fun about my journey was my chemo was taking place at the time that G.I. Jane, the movie, was out. I am not kidding. I am, my head, although it's filled with a lot of information, it's very small. So wigs were just not for me. They weren't comfortable. So I'm telling you, I sported that bald head with so much just... I was proud. I put glitter on my head, and I thought, yep, I'm not G.I. Jane, but I'm pretty damn close right now. Like I felt good. I felt good. I didn't feel out of place at all because G.I. Jane was there.
Thank you, Demi Moore.
Yeah. Thank you. Kidding. It was so amazing. And I thought my timing couldn't have been better. And you know, I wore a little bit of different makeup because of, you know, obviously eyelashes and, you know, mm-hmm. your eyebrows are going away. And so
that was the most incredible part for me as a woman, as a co-survivor, right? As me standing on the sidelines, not really realizing that. And again, this is going to be an educational part for anybody that hasn't been through breast cancer. When they say you lose your hair, you lose all of your hair.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, like all of it goes away. It's not just your hair.
Right. Right.
Your eyebrows, your eyelashes, your, you know, downstairs stuff. Mm-hmm. And everything goes away.
Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely, you know, it, like I said, it couldn't have played out itself any better. And I wore the glitter like nobody's business. I thought, yep, here it goes. Bald head.
So beautiful. So you get this abnormal pap smear. What were the next things that happened after that? Like, was there any fear of like cervical cancer? Was there anything, any discussions about that?
Yes. And that's why they were introducing the hysterectomy to me. And, you know, I just really had to try to educate myself pretty quickly and make the best choices. And I did opt for a surgery, but it wasn't going to be the hysterectomy. So they did. And I just don't recall the names of some of these because I just have, I've moved on. But mm-hmm. I want to say that they basically burned the whole inside so that the new cells would regenerate to be healthier cells. I don't know what it's called, but that's the type of surgery I had. I had a downtime of about 5 days, I want to say. And then we just had follow-up pap smears. And I have been very, very thankful that everything has been fantastic ever since.
That's amazing. So. And so you move on with your life. You have two children. How long after that second diagnosis did you have your children?
Well, let's see. I got pregnant at the age of 33. So, yeah. So there you go. 33.
How old are you now?
I am 48. Woo-hoo! Yeah, I just turned 28, so I don't know.
And are you still personal training? Are you still doing hair? Like, what does today look like for you?
Yeah, I definitely am personal training. And I'm a CrossFit coach. I personal train. I definitely cut hair, but it's more just, you know, friends and family. It's not a business or anything. I just, you know, it's casual. It's fun. Mm-hmm. I cut my friends, so It's a hoot.
It's a hobby.
I have CrossFit coached for about 9 years, and I've been personal training probably 15, a little over 15. So,
yeah. So how did you find Barbells for Boobs?
Well, I had heard of it at some CrossFit gyms that I go to, and I'd heard about the fundraising. Of course, you see it. I never really knew what it was. And then I know Wendy Nielsen, who also goes to a CrossFit gym that I attend sometimes. And I've known her for a while from other gyms. And I knew she had gotten diagnosed last year. And, you know, I'd reached out to her and I had just, you know, followed her journey a little bit as well. And she's the one who actually joined this community. And so I heard about it more through her, even though I was very aware of it. I just didn't know what it really was. And now I can't believe. I'm very disappointed.
We love Wendy. Shout out to Wendy for sure. You know, yeah. I don't even really know what Barbells for Boobs is. It just keeps whenever somebody asks like, what's Barbells for Boobs? I'm like, it's a filling. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah.
And even what it is today, it has created itself, if that makes any sense. Like what I set it forth to do, it did a lot of great work in early detection, but the community just kind of took it and it was like, nope, this is what we're doing with it. And I was like, okay, we'll just follow your lead and we'll listen and we'll, you know, I realized it was probably 3 years ago when I really realized kind of that you have this epiphany after doing something for so many years. You're like, what am I really supposed to be doing? Right. And I finally actually like I led by feeling instead of listening to what other people were telling me what to do. And sure. So I was like, this just feels right. This feels the right way to move Barbells for Boobs because working with early detection is so political and people don't understand some of the politics that go into funding early detection and helping women get physically active after. There's no politics there. It's just hard work, right? It's just you either want to do it or you don't, and we're going to help you get through it. And there's no politics here. And it felt better. It felt right. And it was what the community was asking for. And I was like, all right, here we go. I don't know what we're doing, but we're going to learn.
I can definitely appreciate that. I I have recently, in the last year, I became the first trainer on staff to a nonprofit. And this nonprofit trains cancer survivors. So
what? Where is this?
So it's called the nonprofit is out of Minnesota, right here in St. Paul, and it's called Survival to Strength. And I was their first trainer on staff, and we literally personal train cancer survivors and
of all cancer types.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I have met so many amazing people, and I just can't even tell you how it's the perfect marriage of two complete just passions that I have. Cancer, passion. I'm passionate about cancer. And training. I'm passionate mm-hmm. about training. And I get to share something with people that is so rare. You know, you survived this. And I get to help make you stronger. I'm getting choked up.
Yeah.
It's just so cool.
I can relate with you because that's all Barbells for Boobs is for me. I just took my two passions and just did something, right? So like my friend got a breast cancer diagnosis and I'm passionate about my friend. So it just organically made me passionate about this cause.
Yeah.
And I loved picking up a barbell. And so I was like, how do I marry these two? And little did I know what I was building. You know, I just kind of was, again, just following my passion and following and trying to support my friend. And so it is a beautiful marriage when you can take your passion and support another person. That's what life is about, you know?
Yes. And I mean, I'm not really a materialistic person, but I do need to share this because I just think it's pretty funny. I was coming home from a chemo appointment one day and I had my mom in the car because my parents were just amazing supporting me through this journey. And, you know, everybody has a car that they might love or something that they want to own someday that might be out of their capacity or financial. Well, you know, in my mind, I thought, well, I have cancer. I might die. I'm going to own my dream car. So went out and bought my dream car that I happened to find on my way home from a chemo appointment with my mom in the car. So I went into this car dealership, bald and boobless, and said, I want that. And I kid you not, 20 years later, I still own that car.
That is so awesome.
And it is a car that is just so insignificant to everyone else, but I love it.
Means everything to you.
I'm happy. And every mm-hmm. time I sit in it, it's just, you know, yes, I can look at my boobs and see my scars, but there's something different because I don't know if I ever would have bought that car had I been through what I went through.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy how the significance of certain things changes, right? Like
yeah.
your perspective on things, the meaning of different things. I'm right now on Survival to Strength's website. So I'm going to read everyone their mission. Our mission is to help people who have cancer or who have had cancer become as healthy as possible through strength training and other physical activity. I need to meet these people. Where have they been my whole life? Who are these people?
Yeah. And we're still kind of we're on maybe our second year. So we're still kind of figuring out how to raise money and mm-hmm. how to get our word out there. So we're still learning, but it's fun. I'm on the board and I don't know. I'm just excited that I get to train people.
No, honestly, if you guys need anything at all.
Okay.
You let me know. I mean, it looks like a lot of the things you guys are working on is really aligns with our work.
Yeah.
So,
it's so incredible. It's a very different world when you meet people like you that have survived something that, you know, just the mental toll.
Well, the relatability, right? I think it's really hard for somebody to go into a gym and talk to a coach that has never heard the words, you have cancer.
Yeah.
And what those side effects feel like, how your mood can change, how your body has changed. So when you can really work with somebody that understands it from the experience of it. And again, like, we have a lot of intellectual educated people that can learn all they want about exercise oncology. But when you actually get to learn from somebody that's had to rebuild themselves through exercise, it's very empowering. I feel like it's very motivating and inspiring because you're a result of the hard work they're about to, that long road they're about to start walking down.
Yeah.
You're at the end of it. Right. And so they see the finish line and they're like, okay, I can, if she did it, I can do this.
Yeah.
You know?
And that has been so much of my mentality of how and why I do competitions today. Like, I compete in Olympic weightlifting. I compete in powerlifting. I went to nationals. I actually in April, this past April, was supposed to go to Masters Nationals in Florida and then Worlds in
Me
August.
Me too. We would have totally met each other.
Yes. Oh my God. So, you know, you just get, I want to be that person that can just, I don't know, just feel like I didn't sit down and let this bring me down. I'm just like, no, I was told I'd never be able to put anything over my head, like a barbell over my head. And I thought, no, come on.
This is like the worst thing I can ever hear. Like, this makes me so angry. Every time I hear it, I'm like, it makes me want to just do more. And that's, and I think that that's your feeling of, no, this is, I'm not going to sit on my ass because I got a cancer diagnosis. I'm going to do more. I'm going to take this thing that should knock me on my ass and I'm going to stand up and I'm going to fly. I'm like, I'm going to get up and I'm going to do more and I'm going to be more. Because I think that it's really easy to get labeled as something once you get cancer, right? Yeah. And I think that our system, our medical system in some way almost wants you to stay there. And I'm not talking about all medical professionals, but even somebody telling you that you're not going to be able to lift something over your head, they're already putting a label on you. They're already saying you're not going to be strong. You're not going to be strong enough to put something over your head. That to me is already telling a woman or a person that they're not capable.
Right.
And that is like, that's our healthcare system.
Right.
Come on. We got to show it better. We've got to be better. Like, I didn't go to medical school.
Right.
Everyone, disclaimer, I'm not a doctor, but I can't help a woman put something over her head.
Well, and even on that note, you know, when I originally found my lump, I had to go through, it took me 4 doctors to finally convince someone to give me a lumpectomy, to just get it out.
Without doing a full mastectomy.
Correct.
Or,
correct. Because I went to 3 doctors and they said, oh, you probably have a cyst. It's fine. I'm like, no. This hurts when I push on it and it interferes with my working out. Therefore, get it out. Like, I'm little. So,
and this is, I'm going to, here's a little education here because I'm staring at Carla across the way, our operations manager. And she also had a cyst. And, you know, there's a part to it where it's like she's had two, where you just want it out. And this happened to my niece. This happened to my niece when she was like 17 years old. And usually what they say is, well, it's not danger, you know, just, it's not doing anything, but you're still like, I want it out of my body. Can you help me? And sometimes once you get it out, they're like, oh, we found something.
Oh yeah. Well, and, you know, I don't know. I am who I am. Of course, I had to take my diagnosis and write a letter to the doctors that did not give me a lumpectomy and just say, hey, because I am who I am and I advocated for myself, I have cancer.
Preach.
So had you not, I don't know, it just was frustrating. I just wrote them a little letter.
And I think, again, that's brave because they have to know. Because if you didn't write those letters, they're going to do it to another woman and another woman and another woman. And what ends up happening, you were 29 with a stage 2. In my opinion, that's an aggressive cancer. And the younger you are, the more aggressive cancer is because your cells are growing at a faster rate. And so that's what we have to do. So if anybody's ever been told no and they did find something, write the doctor that told you no. That's what happened to Ceci. Ceci was my best friend, the inspiration of Barbells for Boobs. It's her birthday today. Woo-hoo, happy birthday, Ooh, Ceci.
Happy birthday.
39.
Nice.
But they told her that she was too young for breast cancer. They literally wrote that on her documentation that mammography recommended at age 40. And 6 months later, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I'm like, you need to go back to the original doctor.
Yeah.
And smack him. Yeah, just smack him for me.
It's frustrating. It is. But I was so thankful to find the team that I did, because I searched for them. They didn't find me. I searched for them. And I speak to them today. And, you know, I go in and see my reconstructive doctor and he's like, so did you break any records this year? And he loves when I come in. He's just like, well, I am a plastic surgeon, but I don't know. I mean, what are you here for? It's just so fun to go visit the people that changed your life. Mm. I don't know.
Well, and there and there were people that you were never expecting to have in your life.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. But, you know, you got to keep it real, too, because there are days where I go into the gym and I can't lift very much. I just don't feel great. Mm-hmm. I just move. And so people know it's real. Like it's real. It's a real thing. And some days you just are not 100%. So work with what you have.
And that's okay.
And that is okay. Yeah.
We're all human. It's okay to feel 50% some days.
Yeah. 55.
55, especially nowadays.
Yeah. I don't know. It's an interesting journey, but I really feel like it has made me so much of a better person, and priorities. It's made my priorities change. And I don't have bad hair days ever, because I know what it's like to not have hair. So, you know, I'm just glad to have hair.
it's a different perspective. It's a different perspective in your life. And, I mean, it sucks to have to get that perspective, right? It sucks that what you have to go through to earn that type of perspective. And honestly, when I look at it, I truly believe with a breast cancer diagnosis, you gain 10 years of wisdom. Like you experience 10 years in a year, because what you learn and the perspective you gain through that process is, it's almost like living 10 years of life.
Yeah.
And so as hard as it is to say, and I hear it all the time, that women are like, breast cancer made me better. It made me live better. It made me love more. It made me, really become who I was supposed to be, you know?
Yeah.
I think taking the good is always the best path.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what has been your biggest lesson from breast cancer?
People. By that, I mean, you really know who's with you on this journey.
I love it.
Because people come and go.
That is such a good one. It's such a good one.
You know, I mean, I got diagnosed at 29, and people come and go in your life, all throughout your life. But who are those people that are there for you? And really think about it. Who are they? And are they still with you? And how did they, you know, what did they do to help you or not help you? Or where did they go? Or who appeared? People.
No, that's, and I really relate with that, because, you know, we're going into our 11th year at Barbells for Boobs. And the thing I'm the most proud of is that Ceci and I are closer than ever still. Yeah. You know, like that the friendship didn't get torn. Like there was, my mission is still, I'm still passionate about the person why I started this. I'm even more passionate about her, if that makes any sense.
Yep.
And you know, like you look at it in 11 years, and we were in our 20s when all this started, and to get through our 30s, to get through a decade and still have that strong connection and strong friendship is like, it's the biggest gift I could have from Barbells for Boobs. And even to start something and for it to explode and go global and all these people get involved. And she's always like, who are all these people trying to be my friends? And I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea. And she's just kind of just stood right by me the whole way and just has cheered me on in building this. And that to me, I couldn't agree with you more that people, because in 11 years, a lot of people have come in and out of Barbell, you know, like have come in and out. And the person that stuck is still Ceci.
Yeah.
And she's still right by my side. And it is true. People are everything.
Yeah.
Who was the person, or you don't have to say their name, but their was it a friend? Was it the husband? Was it the, you know, family member that you thought would be there that ended up not being that person?
Ooh, yeah. Well, yeah, it was what I thought was my best female friend at the time. And just there was no commitment to me.
That's hard.
It just, I think because there was just that ignorance at that time that when you heard the word cancer, there's disease, right? So, I don't think I should be hanging out with you anymore.
So, you're contagious.
It just was weird. I mean,
yeah.
I can't even put it into words. It was just very weird. I knew who my friends were within months of who was going to be on my team to get me through this when I needed it.
And who showed up for you that you didn't think was going to show up?
Ooh. Well, I wasn't married at that time. I hadn't met him yet, but the person who really stepped up that I wasn't expecting to was the gentleman I was dating at the time. And we had been dating for a few years, but boy, did he step up.
Mm. And that's a hard thing when you're dating somebody for them to get a cancer diagnosis and for you to actually step up instead of step down. So that's
he was amazing. My parents lived out of state, so they were very limited on what they could do, but my family is amazing. They're so supportive. And my parents ended up moving up here in my townhome when I had my double mastectomy so that I could get the help I needed when I recovered. But a couple days, I mean, I think they were maybe here for 7 days. And then I said, I'm fine. I'm going to go to the gym. And so they left. Went back home, but I don't know. Wow. Yeah, I would say my boyfriend that I was dating at the time. He went to every appointment with me. He drove me places because I was going through chemo and I couldn't be around those outside germs. He brought me special food if I actually felt like eating that day. So, yeah. I haven't thought about him in years. So, hey, thanks.
That's a good one. That's a good lesson.
Yeah.
I think that sometimes we don't get that lesson until we go through trauma. It takes trauma for us to figure out who our tribe is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else you want to share with our community? This has been a fun interview. I feel like I could go on for hours.
Yeah. Well, I think what I find most interesting is to be able to say that cancer has been a part of my life. It is certainly not my life. And how it has helped shape my future has been great. I don't even know if I would be where I am now if I hadn't had cancer. Mm. You know, just it. Yeah, it's a part of you. I see it every day. And I actually even got a tattoo on my toe, a breast cancer pink. It's a toe ring with daisies because that's my favorite flower. And so every day when I look at my toe, I'm like, yeah, I get to see my toe every day. And I don't know, just live. Just live and don't
be afraid. It's a small reminder.
Yeah.
Right.
Just try things and live and be happy and, you know, the day comes, you just forget and you don't think about it. And it's just such a small little hiccup in your journey of life that you're like, oh yeah, I remember when I got diagnosed, but look at me now. I don't know.
That's amazing. Well, thanks so much for sharing your story with us. I know that it's been a while since your diagnosis, so letting it come back into life and giving it some life and putting it out into the world, we really, really appreciate it. Again, I told you before the podcast started, sometimes I think it's nice for our community to hear what your life could eventually look like, right? And so for us to not remember the dates of our diagnosis or to, you know, not let those things own us anymore and not be such a fresh wound, I think is refreshing for all of us to just, you know that there's something more, there's something better later on, you know?
Oh yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But thank you so much.
Try new things all the time.
Try new things. Thanks for your time. Thank you for the work that you're doing. And again, if you guys need any support, I want to continue to learn more about what you're doing. And, you know, we're here. But everyone, thanks for tuning in. Remember that it's the people around you that's the most important. That's the lesson from Angela today.
Yeah. Thank you. It's been a ton of fun. My first podcast.
First podcast. Your cherry has been popped officially.
Yes.
Yes. And that's lights out for the Behind the Brawl podcast.